Hi, welcome to True Creeps, where the stories are true and the creeps are real. We'll cover stories from grotesque gore to the possibly plausible paranormal, to horrifying history, to tense and terrible true crime, and everything else that goes bump in the night. We're your hosts, Amanda.
And I'm Lindsay, and we want you to join us while we creep.
We cover mature topics. Listener discretion is advised. Hello, everyone. Today, we're back with another cryptid episode.
You know I fucking love a cryptid.
We do love a cryptid. This one made me a little mad, though, because of what it chooses to eat.
I mean, it's full-on disrespectful.
It is.
And also,
is.
Typically, we shy away from things where it kills this particular victim.
Mm-hmm.
Just because...
I thought it would, you know,
choose
a different meal at some point, but it didn't. So I don't really like this cryptid. It's kind of mean.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a dick.
Yeah, it is a dick. So as I started researching, I was like, oh man, I wonder when we're going to run out of cryptids. And then I find another list and I was like, oh, we have a lot. Like, we have a lot to go on for a long time.
We're never done. We're never done cryptiding.
We're never gonna be done with cryptids. But I hadn't heard of this one before. And so today, what we're going to be talking about is the Beast of Bladenborough. That's just kind of a fun name to say.
It is a fun name to say. However, can we call it Bob for short?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because Beast of Bladenborough is a little bit of a mouthful. So can we say Bob?
Yeah. And sometimes it'll be V Bob.
The Bob.
People call it the Vampire Beast.
Okay.
So V Bob.
Okay. Yeah. V Bob.
Yeah. V Bob.
Not the Bob or the Bob. V as in vampire Bob. V Bob.
Yes.
I'm cool with calling it V Bob.
V Bob. Okay. Yeah. And that's what caught my attention at first. I was like, ooh, a vampire cryptid. Ooh. We haven't really done that outside of the chupacabra, right? Mm-hmm. And all I think of is his Stanley cup with blood.
A little curly straw in it.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole time when I saw vampire, I was like, okay, we're gonna need to get another curly straw, but no, this one's kind of fucked.
Yeah.
But his story includes more accounts than the typical cryptid. There's a ton of accounts. So with all these stories, some of them do vary a bit depending on the source, but we tried to compile the biggest comprehensive list we could. We went through a ton of them trying to figure out where this bitch was. Okay. So let's get into Bob.
V Bob.
So he is from North Carolina. In the 1950s, the town of Bladenborough was terrorized by Bob. So the first appearance of Bob, or unknown creature at this time, was actually at a nearby town called Clarkton on December 29th of 1953. A woman heard her dogs barking, or in some sources it was the neighbor's dog, but either way she went outside to see what was going on. What she saw was a cat-like animal that was black, sleek, and about 5 feet long. After spotting the cat, saw her and it ran into the woods. Weird occurrence to see that big of a cat where she lived, but it ran away. It seemed okay. 2 days later, on December 31st, it was spotted again in Bladenborough. Now, this time, unfortunately, and this is what makes me so sad, is two dogs were attacked on a farm. One was killed around 10:30 in the evening, and then the other one was killed around 1:30 in the morning. Both dogs were described as being crushed and torn and also drained of their blood. Don't like it.
We don't like a creature that's getting dogs.
Right. Right.
Also, if you're like us and you're like, but what do you mean they saw a big black cat in the Carolinas and they were confused? Because Carolina Panthers is like a sports team. It's a football team.
And an extinct animal.
I know. But my point is like, you're like, at first you're like, they could have panthers, but it's not. They aren't there.
Right.
So
right.
Like, it's not that. This isn't a 20 minute. This isn't a 5 minute episode of us goofing around being like, it was a panther. Toodles.
Yes, yes, that's true. We should bring that up.
Yeah. So on January 1st of 1954, two additional dogs were attacked on Woody Storm's farm. Love the fucking name of this guy.
Yeah.
So some sources say the attack at Woody's farm was on New Year's Eve, though. And when the dogs were found, they were also drained of their blood. And it was clear that there was something that was large and powerful that had killed the dogs. So on January 2nd of 1954, the creature attacked Bob Callahan's dog. Then the next day on the 3rd, another two dogs were found dead. Bob is very active in the dog killing lifestyle, and I don't like it. So at this point, because they're being found nearly completely exsanguinated, people begin calling the creature a vampire beast.
Fair.
Yes.
So there was an autopsy done on one of the dogs, and its jawbone was smashed. It was also missing a tongue, and the body was almost completely drained of blood. Ugh, you know I don't like a missing tongue. That upsets me.
No.
Farm animals were also being attacked, so there was a goat that was found dead in a field, and it was drained of blood. And other animals were also found with bite marks. Additionally, some sources say a family of kittens, 8 dogs total, and at least 1 lamb were also killed. And again, like we said at the beginning, we tried to compile a comprehensive list of all of the accounts, but depending on the source, they differ in what kind of animal was killed and on which date. So a little frustrating.
Yeah. There's even a documentary that we watched on this, and compared to other sources and even some of the newspapers, like the dates are all over the place.
Well, it's also right when we're talking about like this time period, it's not like newspapers are like, we need to fact check this before we run it. They're like,
looks good.
Guy next door said this happened. That's good. Somebody told me about the story that they read someplace else. Good enough for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some of the papers, when they say dates too, they'll be talking about something that happened like days prior. So trying to match up.
I hate when they say that. They're like, this past Thursday. And I'm like, tell me the date. Even if it's this year, I'm like, tell me the date. Yes. Like I'm hitting the table.
Yes. So on January 4th, 1954, the Wilmington Morning Star reported that a man named Carl Page, his son, saw the beast, but it was with another smaller creature. And so they're like, is there 2 creatures, perhaps? There's other accounts, too, where people saw 2 creatures. And people were like, okay, is it like a cat and a baby, like a kitten? Is there 2 adults? What is it? And so now there's a family of cats.
Maybe they're just pals. I like the idea of cryptid pals.
Oh, yeah.
Like a Justice League, but of cryptids. We've talked about this a lot.
Oh, well, I mean, the Mothman hanging out with the Blair Witch, with the Snallygaster, I feel like they already started it.
Yeah.
They're the first version.
And the Mogian monster that had all of his brushes that liked to hang out with the Blair Witch that had its...
That's true.
What kind of pets did it have? It was like a mountain creature. It was like lions or something.
Mountain lion or something. Yeah. Perfect. Love it.
Oh, yeah. It had mountain lion cubs. That's what it was.
Yeah.
All together.
So this creature could have had cubs. It could have had a friend. We don't know. But people are seeing 2. People all over the town were starting to say that they had seen the creature, too, which we've talked about with other cryptids. Like, I know someone that saw it, or so-and-so's cousin's brother saw it this place. But everyone's seeing it. And because everyone was seeing it, the descriptions varied widely. They were all over the place. So some say it was 3 feet long. It weighed around 90 pounds. It had a really long tail. It had a cat's face. But on top of it, it made a very weird sound. Some said it was sort of like a baby crying. And then others were like, no, it's like a woman shrieking. Strange. And some people would say that they'd hear it at night before they saw it, or before they saw wrestling in the trees, or, you know, whatever. But they're hearing some sort of scream.
I will say, too, an interesting thing is, like, wildlife makes strange sounds.
Yes, especially coyotes.
Where I was going to go was bullfrogs.
Oh, yes. Frogs make really fucked up sounds.
Well, and they make sounds that are disproportionate to their tiny bodies.
Yes.
They have a lot to say and they're loud about it, especially if they're looking for a friend for the night.
Yes.
And so, like, yes. I'm like, if I was in a place that was relatively rural, I'd be like, cryptid or just an animal that I don't know. It's probably some horny frog. I'm mind my business.
Yep. I think I've said it before. We have toads that come up when the monsoons happen. And I could have sworn there was a dying cat outside when it was raining. And I'm outside looking for this dying cat to try to save it. And it was a fucking toad singing the song of his people.
When I was younger and I was in Girl Scouts, there was this one camp that we would go to. And there was always this sound that sounded like a dying donkey. Like, I mean, I'm talking, and it was loud, like very loud. And I remember being like, what the fuck is that? And like the adults were very cavalier. They were like, it's just a toad or it's just a frog or something like that. And then like one night I was like going to the bathroom and I could see it, the little froggy guy. And he was like softball sized.
Screaming.
The sound that was coming from him was like he was a speaker. It was just like very loud. And I'm like, how do you make so much noise? Like, I don't think I could be that loud. Like if I was dying. And you're not even dying. Yeah. You're just loudly
small.
Horny.
Well, Yeah, it could have been a frog making the sound of a woman shrieking or a baby crying. Who could know? But Lloyd Clemens is the next one to see the creature, and they saw it on January 4th. He and his wife were sitting in the living room when their two dogs outside started making noises. They were barking, growling, going nuts. So Lloyd went to the window. It was dark, but the porch light was on, so he can kind of see what was going on. And of course, he saw the creature. And the way that he described it is that it was 20 inches high. It had a long tail, and it was about 14 inches long. I was like, wow, like if I looked at a giant cat, I wouldn't be like, all right, well, if I were to get my ruler out, I'd be like, it looks like a cat. It has a cat tail. I don't know.
I mean, I will tell you that my brain automatically knows the conversions for 12-year-old boys now because I do it all the time with our episode. So in case you were wondering, that is a little less than half of a 12-year-old boy because it's about 49 inches Perfect. Average. So
okay,
20 inches. And then I would say close to, I mean, like what, like a half by a third of a 12-year-old boy.
You're That's welcome. How he should have told the people.
Yeah.
They would have understood more.
They wouldn't have been weirded out at fucking all.
So the creature was dark in color. It had a face like a cat, but he had not seen a cat that big before. It also walked in a stealthy, sneaky manner.
So like a cat. Do. Like a cat. Yeah. Walk like a cat.
Like a cat. So he quickly grabbed a shotgun. By the time he got outside with a shotgun, though, the creature ran into the darkness and he couldn't find it. Now, all of these sightings started to attract hunters to the area. And people were telling, you know, the sheriff and their neighbors and all these people about the creature. So, of course, newspapers were covering it, along with like the radio was covering that there's some crazy creature in this town. So, of course, all these hunters are like, well, we got to go see what it is.
Nowadays, do you think that people, when they hear like there's a mysterious creature, it's killing farm animals, like that the average hunter is like going and they're like, you know, I hunt deer on the weekends when that's the time of year. I'm going to go hunt this cryptid, because like I feel like you only hear about that in like old timey stories. Yeah. But I wonder if it's a more rural reaction.
Maybe
like I'm going to protect my town versus like, I mean, I live in Baltimore County, so I don't think the hunters of Baltimore County are going to be like, I heard that there's a big cat in the Carolinas. Let's fucking go. But they might. I don't avail myself.
We're not hunters. So we're like, that doesn't make sense. I don't want to go kill anything.
I mean, same. But I come from like a big hunting family on both sides. And both of my parents were like, ew, no.
Good.
Agreed.
So, yeah, everyone's flocking to this town. Now, when I mentioned earlier, we watched a documentary and it's called The Beast of Bladenboro. And it is available for free online if you want to watch it. But what was interesting is they had a bunch of interviews from residents of the town. And so, like, people that were a little older that would have been around during this time. And then some younger people talking about their families growing up talking about this creature. So they had like some inside knowledge. And while they're talking to these people, you could really see how fearful the town was at that time. And super interesting. And like, I feel for them because everyone was really scared. But the visuals that they had were hilarious. It was like a cartoon wolf that would be like chewing on a cow sometimes. And then there'd be this like really bad CGI panther that would like walk by in these woods. It was so bad. But the documentary itself was interesting.
I love like questionable CGI things, like our very first TikTok of with the pterodactyl.
Yes.
Like when
yes.
We have like, well, like three TikToks, like not that many, but that's a good one.
It is. It is. So many of the people that were interviewed in the documentary talked about how the townspeople at the time were actually pretty concerned with all the hunters being in the area because they were worried that someone was going to get accidentally shot.
Reasonable.
Because remember, small town, bunch of hunters. If they accidentally, you know, their gun goes off or they think that they see something that's not there, they could shoot someone. So everyone was very freaked out. So some of the hunters that came, we'll get into a few more in a little bit, but three of them were from Wilmington. And their names were Joe Gore, S.W. Garrett, and G.V. Garrett. And they said that they tracked the creature for 3 miles into the swampland. It left tracks, and they noticed that its claws were about an inch long. They estimated that the creature weighed anywhere from 80 to 90 pounds. And based on the movement patterns, they didn't believe that it was alone. So again, is there a family of giant cats?
Well, that makes sense. When you think movement patterns, I would imagine if one track goes one way and another track goes another way, can't have done both unless it was like walking backwards. So Matt Rhodes's father, Phil Rhodes, was a prominent lawyer in North Carolina during that time. And he and his brother went to Bladenboro to hunt the creature in January of 1954. Before Bill died, he told his son about the beast. He mentioned that it was like a big cat or a tiger or a lion, and that it may have gotten loose and hung out in the area. And he thought that because there was a lot of food that a bigger animal could eat, like there were deer and pigs and livestock. So there's so much to chomp on if you're a CGI cat. Bill was very concerned that it was going to hurt a person or a child because children aren't people. He also worried that a shotgun wouldn't be enough to stop the creature. So he eventually purchased what was pretty similar to an elephant gun, and he kept the ammo next to it just in case he saw it. So Bill had spoken with some of the townspeople trying to get a good description so he could confirm whether the cat was actually a threat. His son said he was a lawyer, so of course he wanted to have proof. When Bill spoke with one man, that man had told him that he heard one of his cows yelling in distress. I don't like that. Sounds very sad. When the man got to his cow, he saw the cow being like dragged into the woods, and the creature was walking backwards, pulling the cow. Like a whole ass fucking cow. That's big.
Giant.
Giant. Yeah. So the man didn't see the creature, but saw what he described as a gigantic head buried into the cow's neck, and it had big yellow eyes.
As all cryptids, right?
As all cryptids. Also, I've begun watching X-Files again. So the liver guy in the beginning, in the first season, also has yellow eyes. The man specified that it was not a bear, wolf, or coyote. I feel like those are all like very like readily identifiable things where like you would know. And also like a coyote can't pull a fucking full ass cow into the woods. I don't think a wolf could either. Maybe a bear, but it would have to be a strong bear. Yeah. Like I thought they were like, yo, I'm going to get some fish. Like, let me steal this honey. Like I thought they were more of like
they were Pooh Bear.
They're Pooh Bear, but also like just a very stoned bear just looking for whatever is readily available and easy to catch. That's my
thought of most bears.
Of how they hunt, yes. So when interviewed, Matt recalls that his father was a master of cross-examination and that Bill had recounted to his son that when the man was talking about his cow, he was not lying. So like it's interesting, right? Because you're like, okay, this is his son telling his father's story that somebody told him. But when you know that like the father was the type of person who had like a good bullshit detector.
No nonsense.
It makes it a little bit less like, So on the morning of January 5th, the chief of police and a man named D.G. Pate saw the creature attacking a dog. Fortunately, the dog was able to get away, but it ran away yelping. So after that, neither the dog nor the creature that attacked it could be found. And this story, when we were researching, we saw different dates for this story. So it could have been either January 5th or it could have been earlier.
Right. And with this, there's so many accounts that are documented, right? Like a lot of them, when we talk about cryptids, it's like they saw it here or like very basic. And this one's like this person saw it on this day. But then depending on the source, it's like, no, it was this day or earlier. I mean, it all happened in the beginning of January, though, for this part. So on that same day, which we're talking about the 5th, a pet rabbit was also killed. The owner found the rabbit pretty soon after it died because it was still warm, but they couldn't find what killed it. So, of course, it was the unknown beast. That evening, a woman, Mrs. C.E. Kinlaw, was in her house when she heard her dogs going nuts outside. This story may have happened on the 4th, though, just heads up, depending on the source. She went to check on them, and she spotted a large cat-like creature in her yard. Now, this is a little different. When it saw her, it actually rushed towards her.
Oh, no.
She screamed, and the creature ended up turning away and running into the woods. Her husband, of course, heard her scream, ran outside, and by the time he was there, the creature was gone. She described the creature to the police and said it looked like a big mountain lion. There was an article written about her attack, I guess, what you can call it. I think it like tried to scare her. It didn't actually attack her, though. And what the article was titled was, quote, "Vampire Charges Woman."
First off, 10 out of 10. Catchy headline. We're intrigued. But I also wonder if the reason why it came at her was because she was bent over and it thought that she was a smaller creature and not
maybe
like a human. Then it was like, yikes, no, my bad, my bad.
No beef.
No beef. But actually all beef. It wants that beef. It tried to drag that beef into the woods.
Oh, you're right. You're right. So her encounter made the town even more scared because now it's like, oh, it was going to attack her. So it's like going to attack a human soon. Many of the townspeople began hunting for the creature at night. And so how they described it is like a lot of the men would go out at night and the women would stay home. And some reported hearing like a roar or, you know, its scary scream or whatever it was doing. And they'd be very scared for their husbands because back then there was no way of getting a hold of them, which very sad. There's actually an interview with Rufus Duckworth.
And 10 out of 10.
That's the former mayor of Bladenboro. And he brought up that no communication back then. So like no cell phones, and most of the residents themselves didn't even have a home phone at that time. So like there wasn't an easy way to communicate, and no one wanted to leave at night to like go talk to their neighbor or get help or anything. So they were all just like sitting in their houses terrified. So everyone's stressed out in this town.
Fair. In an interview with Lisa Hester, she recalled that her older family members, who were in high school at the time of the sightings, told her about how scary it was in the town at that time. There were curfews and they weren't allowed to leave at night. And then some people had also recalled that schools weren't allowing kids to play games in Bladenboro due to fear of the creature. So that's interesting that even like traveling teams knew about this.
Yeah.
So many of the houses at the time did not have indoor bathrooms, and people were too scared to go to the outhouse at night. And so they would use like a big jug and empty it in the morning. Amanda, have you ever stayed at a place that had an outhouse?
Nope.
My Nana's cabin growing up had an outhouse. So like we would go up there as a kid, and there was no indoor plumbing, and it was a wild place to be.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So radio and news stations covered the vampire beast around the country. This caused more hunters to travel to the area. So it's estimated that the group of hunters may have grown to 800, then all the way up to 1,000 shortly after, which is insane because the population at the time was only 800. And there was a variety of reasons why the hunters were there. Some wanted to help, some wanted the fame, and one group of hunters that was made up of fraternity brothers from UNC Chapel Hill wanted to kill the creature so they could mount it in the wall of their frat house. What a very specific reason, but okay, weird.
Yeah. They're like, we want it as decor.
Yeah, I'm like, someone help, someone fame, someone decor. Okay.
Seems reasonable, I guess.
Yeah. On January 6th of 1954, Dalton Norton, a decision was made there, reported seeing a big cat on the front porch of his home. He says that the cat made a sound like a baby crying. Luckily, he was inside, but he watched the creature until it walked away toward the other houses. Which, that's kind of strange. Like, why would it be up there, like, mewing on his porch?
I don't know.
Like, notice me. I don't know. That doesn't make sense, though.
Unless it was trying to draw him out to eat him.
That's fair. I'm also like, when we're talking about this place, I'm picturing, like, my neighborhood where, like, it's not very far to my neighbor's house, right? But, like, if you're in a rural home where there's nobody around, it coming up onto your porch and mewing isn't a very strange behavior if it knows that there's food inside and you're the food.
Maybe.
You're right. So, there were also other reports that came in about other animals being killed. And so, people started to bring their dogs inside.
Finally.
Right? I mean, I feel like one dog, and I would have been like, no, ma'am.
Yeah.
To moo, obviously. That's who the no, ma'am is. Unfortunately, one of the reports was that a dog that had puppies was killed. Ugh. And when they found her, she had puncture marks, but no blood.
So weird.
Yeah.
So in an article published on January 7th by the Robsonian, it detailed the attacks, how the animals were killed, and how hunters were tracking the creature into the swamps. Even though there were so many hunters searching for the creature, it was able to attack again on January 8th. An animal was found in a pasture near the swamp, and it was dead. Police were receiving tons of reports with sightings and other attacks, too. Others were reporting not seeing it, but hearing the weird cries at night. Around this time, people were starting to get even more nervous because they were worried about getting hurt by the hunters on top of the creature. And the hunters were kind of like overrunning the town at this point. Just about everyone was carrying a gun, and I even saw one report that said even, like, small boys were carrying guns.
Dislike.
Terrifying. So the chief of police, along with the mayor, Bob Fussell, discussed what should be done. On January 9th, the mayor announced that unless the beast struck again or was actually seen, the hunt was called off. He encouraged the hunters to go home, but many of them decided to stay and kind of wait for what was going to happen next. On January 11th, two cars stopped when they saw an animal along the road outside of town. One witness was named Jeff Evers, and he described what he saw as a cat-like creature that was, quote, brownish and tabby in color with runty-looking ears. Not sure what that means. I'm thinking like small ears.
I guess.
Like a cat.
Or like maybe like too small for its head.
Maybe.
So on January 13th, a farmer named Luther Davis killed a large bobcat after it had gotten caught in a steel trap. And this was about 3 miles from Bladenboro in the swamp. He carried the animal to town and Mayor Fussell announced the beast had finally been brought down. The bobcat was then put up on a flagpole in the center of town with a sign. And the sign said, "This is the beast of Bladenboro." I would just say, like, if I was that mayor, I too would have been like, the first thing that I find that's even remotely close, we're going to say it's that because I want these people to get the fuck out of my town. Because exactly. I'm sure they were not prepared for this many people to come to their town it with like guns and bad decisions. So within about a week, the last of the out of town hunters left. But many people were not convinced that this was the, quote, vampire beast for a few reasons. First, bobcats don't have tails. They're quite a bit smaller than what was described. They aren't known to attack farm animals outside of maybe like chickens, and they generally don't like to be around humans. And they also, and this is an important one, hunt small prey.
Yeah, they're
so not like a fucking cow. Like they're not dragging a cow off into the woods. And also because a bobcat couldn't crush a dog's skull. And remember that that's what was happening. And so, you know, here's the biggest one. They don't exsanguinate their prey. They're not like sucking the blood from the victim. So where would the fucking blood be?
Exactly.
If it was this bobcat.
Right. And bobcats are so tiny and cute. So on the same day that Luther killed that bobcat, one of the hunters that was leaving town because, you know, the creature had been caught, he hit another large cat along the highway. And that man was named Bruce Soles. So now there's another large cat that was killed. And the paper started reporting on it on January 14th. So the day after. And the cat that was hit was a spotted leopard-like cat, and it was 20 to 24 inches high and weighed between 75 to 90 pounds. Bruce took the cat's body back home to Tabor City, and reports say that it was likely an ocelot, but no one knows how it got to the area because it's typically not found there. It's typically found in like South and Central America.
Yeah,
but that's what they believe it was, which sounds very strange. I don't understand how it was there. But anyways, even though these two big cats were killed, there were still more attacks.
I wonder if, I mean, okay, I would imagine that zoos weren't very good at zooing back then, nearly, 70 years ago, a little bit over that. So it would make sense that if zoos had creatures, they could get out. And I would wonder if like a lot of the cryptid stories that we have are escaped zoo animals where it's just like a big fucking animal that doesn't belong where it is. Yeah, or circus animals, yes.
Because they traveled.
Mm-hmm. So on January 16th, Marvin McLam reported the death of 5 medium-sized pigs and 3 chickens on a farm near Robson Memorial Hospital. And the pigs were strewn about the farm, and some of the animals had crushed skulls, and 3 of them had their legs torn off, which feels very gruesome, right? Like, yeah. That feels more gruesome than, like, how animals typically ingest prey, right? Like, that it just feels, like, unnecessary. But interestingly, there was no blood found on the scene. The chickens were attacked while they were in the trees, wild.
Yeah, they were like roosting in the trees, which I found interesting because I haven't seen that. Like everyone I know that has chickens has like a little coop for them.
I didn't know that chickens did that in trees. I didn't even, how did they get up there?
I'm thinking they had low branches or something.
Heard. Okay. So the next day, the attacks were blamed on a 65-pound stray dog in the area and it was killed. But that's weird because dogs don't suck the blood out of animals. And from what we saw, it really looks like the authorities just didn't want this to turn into like a big ordeal again. And that's why they were blaming this dog. Fair, but they didn't have to kill it.
Exactly.
So on January 20th, a report blamed the vampire beast for yet another attack. But after this, reports started to die off and papers stopped covering the story altogether. However, let's fast forward to the 2000s. And then there's more reports of perhaps the same creature. In 2003, there were several attacks on dogs and farm animals in the area, and supposedly they had very little blood left in them. Then, in the summer of 2004, people reported seeing a cat-like creature stalking around the woods about 2 hours from Bladensboro. That same summer, several dogs went missing.
Ooh, creepy. Yeah.
In 2007, in Bolivia, an hour southeast of Bladensboro, 3 pit bull dogs were attacked. Their necks were broken and their bodies were drained of blood, which I hate it.
I hate it, yeah. Leave my pitties alone.
Yes. There were also other attacks noted from Bolivia. Also, just as a note, Bolivia is in North Carolina as well.
Yes.
Luckily, one of the pit bulls that was attacked, her name was Rosie, was able to recover. An article summarized the attacks and called the attacker the so-called Beast of Bolivia. People suspected a large cat, a bear, or a wolf, but there were no witnesses to the attacks. There were, however, paw tracks left that were 3 inches across.
That's so weird because, like, there's a big gap in attacks, first off, and it moved. But again, like, if people were seeing maybe a family of these cats or whatever they were, perhaps they were moving around or, like, leaving because people were hunting them.
Yeah, I mean, I would also say this sounds chupacabra-esque, but, like, it sounds like they could be a different creature altogether. It could be that they moved because of all of the people that were in the area, and then they finally came back just from, like, migratory patterns, if you will.
Maybe. Right. And 2007, I mean, it is a little long ago, but it doesn't seem that long ago. Like, there was some technology then, too, where you're like, no one had any cameras on their farms or trail cams or anything like that.
Yeah, but I think that the cameras that people had were largely like, here is a thing that you can see while it's happening, not I'm recording.
That's true. That's true. But I hate it.
Agreed.
So in September that same year, 60 goats were found dead in Lexington, and their bodies, again, were drained of blood. Glenda and Bruce Floyd were the owners of the farm, and they woke up and found them one morning. Their necks had been ripped open and their blood drained, but they weren't eaten and they weren't missing like any pieces like the other ones. So there were no other marks outside of their necks.
Interesting.
In that same month in Greensboro, Billy Yao found his goats in a similar way, and he blamed a mountain lion. He's like, this has to be a mountain lion. Don't know what it could have been. In October, Bill Robinson, also in Bolivia, found his pit bull dead. This one, so horrible. I hate it. He buried the dog about a quarter mile from his home. And then the next day, the dog's body was back where he originally found it.
Oh, I do not like that.
Mm-hmm. So another man named Leon Williams also lost a pit. And it was only 4 days after Bill's dog was killed. And he lived pretty close by to Bill. His dog was covered in blood and was missing body parts. Now, he actually took his dog to a vet to be examined. And the vet said that the dog had died of blood loss and a possible head dislocation.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
It's horrible. So during 2007, the attacks lasted for about 6 months. 50 pets and livestock animals were killed along a 200-mile path stretching from Bolivia to Greensboro. So all in North Carolina. Witnesses described a creature that was dark brown, about 4.5 feet long, with a face like a cat, claws, and teeth like a vampire. For the attacks in Bolivia, it included 10 dogs total over a span of about 2 weeks. We couldn't find any witnesses for these ones in Bolivia, only that they found track marks that were similar to the 1954 track marks in Bladenboro. Unfortunately, they never found out what was killing these animals in the early 2000s.
I will say that this so far, from what we've covered, is my least favorite cryptid.
Right? He's an asshole.
Yeah, it really is. And yet, Bladenboro now embraces their cryptid legend. So in October of each year, they hold Beast Fest. It started in 2007. Interesting. I love a cryptid festival, but I'm like, oh, this one
sucks.
Yeah, it literally.
And they should call it V-Bob
Festival. It should be V-Bob Festival.
Yeah.
So what was the beast, or is the beast of Bladenboro, Bob? So some suspect that the mayor was trying to hype up the town, and so it was kind of like an invented hoax, and it's believed that he was the one who called Wilmington newspapers to report the story. Interesting. In later interviews, he expressed his doubts in what had happened. In 1958, he told a reporter with the Carolina Farmer that he thought the creature was a hoax, but did admit that the manner of the dog's deaths were strange. He also said that a little publicity never hurts a town. And actually, I disagree. A little publicity absolutely can fucking hurt a town, my guy. But anyway, some say that Fussell was a showman and that he owned the local theater. But even more damning, on January 6th, as the town was terrified, he booked a film for his theater called The Big Cat.
It's ridiculous.
Right? It was about a killer mountain lion, and it played in the theater in January of 1954. There were flyers that said, "Now you can see the cat. We've got him on our screen, and in Technicolor, too." He later said, "The animal was about 90% imagination, 10% truth." That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But also, like, a little clever. so long as animals weren't actually being hurt. But if he was like going and killing people's dogs so that people would go see movies, get fucked.
Right. I feel like the animals were still dying and no one knew what it was. But I think kind of like when we talked about other cryptids, if they're saying, oh, our neighbor saw it. And then the next night they're like, we're going to see it too. And so everyone was seeing a creature that may have not been there for all those sightings. But again, like animals were dying in weird ways. So it's unknown.
Yeah. Another person who cashed in on the craze was Dick, half the man Hilburn. And he was born with no legs and one arm. He traveled with the circus for years and worked as a tattoo artist. He also ran a sideshow with his partner, Carl the Frog Boy Norwood, as one does. And also, after traveling for a while, he got tired of moving around and returned back to Bladenboro. And his community embraced him, and he was well-loved from what we could see. Once he was back home, that's when the creature madness began. So he began using his artistic skills to make things like license plates and other items with the beast painted on them. And I mean, given that this was a town of 800 people, I doubt he had a lot of competition. So when all of these hunters came into town, they just bought up all of this art that he was making, which, like, good for you, Dick.
Right. He's just like, I'm going to make money on my art.
I like that.
Great. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So even though some of the people in the town sensationalized what was going on, there was still something that was killing the animals. And from the interviews that we saw, the residents were scared. Like, they were terrified. And many of them did believe that they saw the strange creature. Some believed that it was just a coyote or maybe a big wild dog of some kind, like a wolf. An exotic cat, perhaps, that escaped from, like Lindsay said, a zoo or a circus. And there were rumors of a circus truck that got in a wreck in the area and that they had lost a Black Panther. But no one could really, like, figure out if that really did happen or if it was just a rumor. And this just reminds me of the Kelly Greenman, where they're like, oh, it's just escaped monkeys. But, like, again, a Black Panther doesn't drink blood either. So yeah. I don't know. Some believe it was a Carolina panther, and they're believed to be extinct in the wild. But some people are, like, sure that they're still there. Others thought maybe it was a mountain lion or a cougar. These really wouldn't exist in their area naturally. Again, though, there are some reports of large cats being caught on trail cameras nowadays in these areas. But wildlife experts are like, no, 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 no. They say a lot of the sightings are like bobcats or house cats, and that it's just hard to gauge the actual size of the animal that was, like, photographed or on the trail cam because of just, like, the angle and, like, the way that they're getting these images. They also say that a lot of people do make up these videos and pictures as a hoax.
Yeah.
So it's unknown if there are large cats in that area now, but wildlife experts are like, there are not. And then others think that it's some sort of supernatural creature. So, Lindsay, what is Bob or V-Bob?
I think Bob might be a chupacabra, maybe. Variant.
Okay. Like a big one?
Like a big chupi, if you will. So when we talked about chupacabras, one of the things that we mentioned was that when you read stories over time, especially when a newspaper is picking up a different story, the story gets kind of mangled. And Is it that all of these animals were drained of blood or there wasn't any blood on the scene?
Right.
I could see how that would very easily be kind of like a silly game of telephone over the years where maybe it's not that they were bloodless, but it was a not bloody scene and that was like misconstrued or kind of lost in translation as it went. Mm-hmm. So I think it's more that. And I would feel pretty confident that the earlier versions, that is what happened. The 2000 ones, I don't know. That's fucking weird.
Right? That is weird.
But like, interesting. I don't really know on this one.
Right? It's like it sways you one way and then another. Because when you're like looking at the interviews with these people, like these people, especially some of the ones that are like younger, they're like, our parents were terrified. When they told us about it, we weren't allowed to go outside. We weren't allowed to do this. Like, it was a big scare. But then it's hard because the proof, you know, there's not a lot of proof of what happened.
You know what it could be?
What?
Tulpa.
Maybe. It could be.
Because if you're thinking that original belief set and then that generation passes it down to their kids and their kids start telling their kids, that's the 2000s.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you're thinking that time period, maybe it's a tulpa and it just needed to get enough steam to come back.
Well, I wish it would just like eat something else.
Agreed.
You know, like those farms must have some veggies or something.
Vegetarian cryptid.
Can we put that out there to change the tulpa? Like its diet, now it has a restriction. it can't eat animals or pit bulls anymore, has to go on like a vegan diet.
Love that for them.
Yeah. Yeah. So everyone, let's all imagine that now.
Yeah.
We got to save these pit bulls.
Well, as always, we want to know what you think it is. Also, let us know if you have a good cryptid that you'd like us to include in a future episode or any episode idea. We take all of our episode ideas and have this massive list.
Yep.
They're never lost if we haven't gotten to yours yet.
Yeah. And some of them we've already started researching, but the research is a lot. So we kind of move around.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're not forgotten. You're on a list if you have sent us one. And we are trying to include them where we can.
A good list. Yeah. If you're loving the show, there are some fun ways that you can support us. You can join our Patreon. You can like and share our content or our posts on social media. Share your favorite episode with a friend and or make them listen to it when they get into your car. We've got fun merch. And if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, we'll send you a sticker. You just need to go to our website and fill out the little form and we'll send one your way. For people who are patrons, would you guys like a hint for what you're going to find out in April? Because I am now just excited to just do a little bit of a tease and up until then.
Yeah.
If you don't know what we're talking about, Amanda and I are doing something in April.
We're so excited.
And our patrons will know first what that is. They have the hot goss and the deets first. Mm-hmm. And we're going to, as much as we can, give content as we're going. But we don't know how cell service will be, so we don't want to overcommit. But cell service dependent.
That's a hint right there.
That's one hint. That was a free one. Mm-hmm. What should we do for our second one?
I don't know. We'll drop it in our Patreon page.
Oh, yeah, that is good. You don't even know otherwise. But yep, I mean, yep. This isn't the first time we've mentioned this. The look I gave Amanda. Okay. Well, with that, have a great weekend.
Thanks for creeping with us.
Thanks for listening. And as always, a special thank you to our patrons who support us via Patreon.
Please see the link in our show notes to learn more about how you, yes, you, can begin to haunt the dump, guard vortexes, or even become a scorching Sasquatch.
Ooh. Also in our show notes, you can find the link to our website, more information on our sources, our social media handles, and our merch store.
We'd love for you to keep creeping with us. So if you like this episode, please subscribe, rate, review, and share the show with your fellow creeps and or ghosts.
I beg of you.
So... He is from North Carolina.
I don't know why, but the way that the cadence in which you said it made me think pageant girl. My name is Vivab, and I'm from North Carolina. And I now want a beauty pageant of cryptids.
Yes, please. Oh my gosh. Perfect. Did we just figure out our fall card for this year?
Yeah, we did. Early? Oh, it's so early, but yes. Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did.
Look at us. We're like planners now.
Oh, all right.
Well, yeah, Bladenboro is in North Carolina, so he's there somewhere.
So he becomes V-Bob.
Yeah, he's gonna become V-Bob when they figure out what he's doing.
Okay, in my head, I was like, if you're once a V-Bob, always a V-Bob, but it's Bob then V-Bob.
Yes, yes. He has a big boy bark now.
Oh. Also, just I need you to know that whenever someone tells me someone's names in initials, my brain immediately has to think of what those initials mean.
Okay, yep.
So for SW, I've got Sexy Worm. Don't know why. And for GV, I've got Glitter Voss. Don't know why.
Ooh,
I know.
I like it. Glitter Voss Garrett.
Good old Sexy Worm Garrett.
Perfect. Love it. Those were the hunters. Sounds like a hunter name.
I'd watch that show.
I would too. Yeah.
So long as they never actually caught the cryptids, you know?
Oh, it's just them like stuffed animals in my head.
Oh, in my head, they're hunting cryptids, but they're never actually catching them. And
yeah, they're just finding a lot of tracks.
Yeah, it's like a nice version, like a ghost show where they're like, oh, did you hear that? And it's like someone just coughed in like the next room, you know? But okay.
It's just a frog.
It's always just a frog, which also makes me think, I'm just a web. Oh, DG, what do we got? Oh, not great. Dung glitter. Everything is glitter, by the way.
Lots of glitter.
A lot of glitter. Yeah. Do you know what Glittergate is?
Yes. Yes. They think it's a storm and it's not. It's glitter.
No. Like, who is the number one purchaser of glitter?
The military, right?
Yes. Oh, I thought you meant that it was something else. We're saying something else. Yes. I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah.
And I feel like a thing that maybe we shouldn't have known.
That evening, a woman, Mrs. C. E. Kinlaw.
Copper Eagle.
Okay. Copper Eagle Kinlaw.
But I still maintain that the name Rufus Duckworth sounds like he is the mayor of a DuckTales town.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would watch that.
10 out of 10. Cryptids on like DuckTales. Love it.
So our neighborhood actually had a bobcat living in one of our neighbors' backyards a couple years back. And it was eating bunnies and chilling in their pool.
Baby.
And it was just like, looks good. This is my home now. And the people are like, you can't live here, right? But they were kind of scared.
You've got plenty of bunnies in a pool. I'm fucking good to go.
Right, right. So they were scared. They wanted it gone, but no one wanted anyone to like hurt it. So all of us pitched in and hired someone that traps and relocates large animals. And so we hired this guy and he caught it like I think in a day or two. Very easy. And he said that the bobcat was a juvenile and that it probably just learned how to be on its own. And so when it stumbled upon this backyard with a pool and bunnies, he's like, food and water, good to
this
go.
This fucking oasis.
Yeah. And pretty much was like, this is a great home. And so he relocated it so that it can learn how to hunt, which is good because he's like, you guys actually found it at the right time. Because if we relocate him now, he's like,
he'll figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah. He'll figure out what to do. But he did say he's like, it is a juvenile, which means there are more in the area somewhere. And likely once his scent is gone, another one's going to move into your area. And just a week or two ago, I saw people's Ring cameras saying that there's another bobcat with kittens in our area.
Babies.
And I will say, it was so freaking cute. I don't want it in my yard. I don't want it to eat my puppy or anything, but it was adorable.
Yeah.